Good evening, Russell. Welcome to the Space Show.
Hello again.
Who controls the Anglo-Australian Observatory?
Not sure how to answer that question. I suppose in some sense, the director, who happens to be me, has some control, although less than you might think, of what goes on. The level above me is the Anglo-Australian Telescope Board, which has the official duty of making sure that the telescope is properly operated. Above that, of course, we have the two governments who provide the money, but the board is responsible for making sure the money comes through and is wisely spent, and I have the job of making sure that it really gets through to the next level. But of course, that would all come to nothing if it wasn't for a very large and dedicated bunch of astronomers and engineers who actually make the telescope work. And in fact, even for me, when I'm using the telescope for my own astronomy research myself, I don't actually control the telescope because the night assistant does. And the rule is that the night assistant is the man who is ultimately responsible for the telescope each night when it's operating. And if there are any technical problems or if the weather looks like deteriorating, it's the night assistant who decides to shut the show down or to open up and get started. And even I wouldn't overrule him if that was happening.
Okay. Now, the board, of course, makes the major decisions on the telescope. Obviously not the scientific run, but the policy decisions. And they recently met and faced some important issues. What were some of those issues?
Well, the main issue, I think, was what is the longer-term future of the Anglo-Australian Telescope. Partly just in itself as a future funding issue, how much money should it continue to get, but in particular, given the competition, if you like, which is now coming from the new generation of 8-metre class telescopes, which are starting to be built around the world, and which both Britain and Australia are getting involved in. And inevitably, this means that some of the astronomical effort in the two countries will start to go to the new projects, and we have to decide how much effort and how much money, how much people should we continue to put into making the Anglo-Australian Telescope work.
And what did they decide in the end?
Well, the decision was that the AAT is such a valuable telescope and has some unique features which will not, in fact, be duplicated by any of the big new telescopes, that almost certainly it should continue to be operated at about the present level, because in fact it will be complementary to the big new telescopes. My own view, and I think it has to be the general view really, is that these large new telescopes, these 8-metre class telescopes, are so expensive and so difficult to set up and work properly, and time on them will be fought for so hard by the astronomers, that we really have to make sure that they are used for the projects that only the big telescopes can do. And that means looking at extremely faint objects, which are too faint for us, or where you need to look at things happening on a very short time scale, and so again you need a lot of light collecting power, or where you need extremely good image quality, because the big new telescopes are being built on the very best sites that anybody has found anywhere on Earth, like in the northern part of Chile, in the edge of the Atacama Desert. There are fantastically good sites. They are better sites than any that we can find anywhere in Australia, just because climatically they provide the most stable atmosphere. And so I think those big telescopes will be used for the projects where you need extremely good images and a lot of light. But then there's a whole lot of astronomy which doesn't require that. Studying distant galaxies, for example, the galaxies are little fuzzy things, and you get the light just as well, even if the atmosphere isn't perfect. And doing spectroscopy with optical fibre systems like the ones that we've developed here in Australia, all you need to do is have the conditions good enough that the light goes down your fibre, and that is often true, then we can be absolutely as good as anyone in the world, and that's the kind of astronomy which the AAT will continue to do. And in fact, I think what we'll see is that the AAT will probably become even more in demand because these new big telescopes will find new things, and there will be follow-up studies, just as we are seeing now with the Hubble Space Telescope, which people were afraid that when the Hubble Space Telescope got working properly, it would really knock the bottom out of conventional old astronomy with our 4-metre telescopes. That's not what happened at all. The Hubble produces fantastic results now that it's been fixed, but the result is people want a lot more access to the ground-based telescopes to understand more about what they're finding with the Hubble telescope.
So the Hubble hasn't put you out of business at
all? Absolutely not. No, quite the opposite way around.
Now, the United Kingdom recently completed a major review of all its astronomical facilities, and it ranked the Anglo-Australian telescope as one of the best. Why was that?
Well, because it is, if I may say so modestly, but I don't take the personal credit for this, of course. It's a huge team effort, and in fact the success of the telescope was all set up long before I appeared on the scene, the way it's operated and so on. But it is a very good telescope, just technically. It was built to extremely good standards. It's been maintained very well and equipped with the best equipment. And over the years, it has just proved itself by being one of the telescopes which has played a leading role in astronomy in the world, by which means it's made exciting discoveries. I mean, this test of a telescope is what quality astronomy does it do. And the AT is outstanding in that respect.
So you don't see the Hubble or the Keck or the new European observatory that's being proposed or actually being built at the moment as a competitor at all?
Well, they are competitors, and rightly so, and I think, but they're going to be just part of the same show. I mean, as an astronomer, I hope very much that I personally will have a chance to use these new telescopes, the 8-metre telescopes, but I hope I'll also still be able to use telescopes like the AAT, and I think what you need to do successful research in astronomy now is access to a range of pieces of equipment, and you use the right tool for the right job, basically.
So we can expect to have the AAT fully operational well into next century?
Oh, yes, I would think well beyond that, probably. I mean, the history of other big telescopes, you just have to look at what's happened, and in fact, virtually no large or even middle-sized telescope has ever been shut down, except in a few cases of telescopes which were surrounded by large cities. And in the old days, when street lighting wasn't prevalent, you could build your observatory on the edge of a town, and it would be nice and dark at night. But nowadays, any modern city is an impossible environment for an observatory. So recent observatories have been built at least 100 miles or 200 or 300 kilometres away from any large towns. So the only threat to most optical telescopes is artificial light, and we're very fortunate, I think, here in Australia with the choice of the site in Coonabarabran is very far from any major centre of population or likely light pollution for a long time. And the other thing you can say is you look back at telescopes like the Palomar 200-inch, which was the greatest telescope in the world back in the 1940s, more than half a century ago, and it's still one of the very best telescopes in the world. The success depends, again, on the quality of the instruments that you can put on it and the imagination of the astronomers who get to use the telescope.
And you are, of course, keeping up with the instrumentation side.
Yes, we're doing our best to keep up, and I mean that's the important reason why we need to have a team, not just astronomers. You need a team of engineers and technicians, and you need people with vision and knowledge of what's going on in the world so that you keep abreast of the latest developments and make sure you exploit that.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Russell.
That's a pleasure.